guys, it's Dimpna here. Glad to have you guys on board and welcome to iloverealestate.tv. Great to have you guys listening in. I've been getting lots and lots of messages and letters and bits and pieces coming into me, and it's been fabulous. Thank you very much for all your positive response. Guys, what we're going to do today is I want to talk about the process of actually leaving full-time employment. Now, as you know, leaving full-time employment is a major deal. You know, it's something that most of us end up really, really looking forward to, and then when it comes along, we probably end up dreading it because it's a major change. It's a change in psychology. It's a change in how you deal with your day. If you've been used to getting up every morning and at a certain time and doing your things a certain way, cleaning your teeth a certain way, all of that kind of stuff, and then driving off to work or not, or however you get to work. And all of a sudden to have all of that stuff faced, you know, you're facing a whole change of what do I do now? You know, what do I do with my day? What if I can't earn any income any other way? Some of us plan that process of actually leaving the security of work and full-time employment, and some of us don't. Some of us end up being pushed into that kind of situation for all sorts of a variety of reasons. And I just want to talk a little bit about that process and how the emotional roller coaster, as much as the financial roller coaster, really have such an impact. So today, what I have a very special guest for you today, and I have one of my students who is a fabulous guy. What he's done is he's gone out there and taken this whole process with a huge amount of gusto. You know, he's taken it on the chin. Having said that, you know, he, like everybody that goes through this scenario, has had some emotional roller coasters to actually go through to get to the point that he is now. He's an absolute inspiration to everybody, and I thought it'd be great to bring him on the line so all of you can hear his side of going through that process and actually what he's done to make it happen. Now, just as a little bit of a snapshot before I introduce him, I'm going to let you in on something that's absolutely huge here. This is a gentleman who was working hard. You know, he was earning, I don't know, we'll talk about the figures in a minute, but roughly $140,000 thereabouts doing what he was doing. And to be faced with having to give up work and all of that security, to going, oh my God, what do I do now? To going to a situation where he's created passive income of in excess of $400,000. Isn't that amazing? Now, he's done that in basically a year. So those are tremendous figures, and we're going to be hearing more about exactly how some of that stuff was put together as well. So, guys, here he is. The man I'm talking about is Neville Doyle. Neville, are you there?
Hello, Dipna. How you going?
I'm doing very, very well. Now, everyone listening to the podcast here is going to be, either fearful of the day when work is no longer a reality, or they're going to be jumping out of their skins going, oh my God, I've retired. But for everybody, it's a massive, massive change. Now, what I'd like to talk about, Neville, with you is first of all, you know, let me just to go through a little bit of your background, if you don't mind. You were actually forced out of your full-time employment due to a back injury. So yours wasn't necessarily a comfortable leaving of the security of full-time work. And it was something that you had to take some pretty huge steps to make changes very, very quickly. How did you cope with that? You know, that whole process of just knowing that you had to create an income for yourself when previously, you know, you've been in employment and a regular wage coming in. How did you deal with that stuff? Because it's massive, that whole emotional turmoil of having to leave that kind of security.
Yeah, well, it's not easy. I don't know if anyone's had a back injury and you're trying to work. You got to cope with having the injury to start with. You got to cope with trying to support your family and keep your job, you know, because I was in the mines as a dragline operator. So, you know, it's I'm getting paid good dollars, and you got a lifestyle, and all of a sudden you're not working because of your injury. Well, you got to try and replace that income.
That's
you know,
right.
And it's And it's very stressful because you could lose everything. So I suppose I could say that I'm lucky that I had the foresight, because I always like to think ahead. I'd always keep me sickies and me long service and all that just for a rainy day in case something did happen.
Yeah.
But I had the foresight too that, you know, what's going to happen down the track if I'm not going to have this job. So that's, I like property, so that's when I went to your boot camp, the 3-day boot camp, and then I decided to apply for the platinum, and then, and I got all that knowledge, so I had about 2 or 3 years of that knowledge, so when the day come, I decided to go full-time property. So at the time, you know, for those couple of years, I was just getting the knowledge. I hadn't really acted on anything, so...
You certainly have now.
Well, you know, I think it's... I think it's...
necessity.
What can I say? You know, it's very stressful. I didn't know. Like, I had my little girl put into her private school and everything, and I didn't have a job, didn't have an income or anything, but I still did it. I just had to, I'll get the money somewhere, you know, like it's just positive thinking, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I take my hat off to you. You've done an amazing job, and for anyone who's going through that kind of scenario or similar sorts of scenarios, you know, you really need to take heart that there are other ways, there are solutions, and it's really a matter of getting the education on board and then applying that education. And necessities, you know, it's a great learning tool. It makes you get out there and do things. Neville, just explain, how many children have you actually got?
I've got 4 children.
What are their ages?
16, 14, 10 and 5.
And
yep,
5,
2 boys, 2
little
girls.
Girl.
My little baby, she's my little angel, that one.
Okay, so I mean, it's pretty scary. You've got, you know, young children there as well that are going to be a long time in full-time care for you to be providing for. And when you've always been out there being that provider, it's a totally different story when you go, oh my God, I've got to do this, and I can't work in the area that I've been trained to do all of my life. What do I do? So you chose to do property. How long have you been a student of mine, Neville?
It's getting on... 4 years now.
4 years, okay.
Yeah, so...
You're an old hand at it all now.
I'm an old boiler now. But I had a lot of help along the way. Like, you know, with the group that I'm in, the support and, you know, I've had a lot of support along the way, and I've got people now that I've just got friends for life that I've only known for like 3 years. So, and where can you get that from, you know? And that's all thanks to you, didn't I?
Oh, thanks.
So it's... Yeah, it's very, very comforting, you know, you've got support support behind you, and that there's more people that are more knowledgeable than me, and you bounce off them, so, you know, you're learning all the time.
That's right. And that, you know, that can't be underestimated, the whole community aspect and having what I call mates in the market and, you know, other mates out there doing it, making it happen, somebody you can ring up and say, you know, this isn't working, and do you know of another way of making it happen? Or just to be able to even talk about your successes, you know. A lot of people here in Australia, we get very hung up on money. And we get caught in that tall poppy syndrome of a bad attitude, basically, is what it is around money. And we don't talk about it. So even just to be able to ring somebody up and say, I just got to tell somebody, I just did this and I made that much money, or you know, let's go and have a drink to celebrate or whatever, that real mateship is huge. And to be able to have that in a group of positive, you know, like-minded people that are out there making stuff happen for themselves, as well as celebrating and being really, really happy that you've succeeded and made stuff happen, cannot be underestimated, because very rarely do you get that, even in a normal workplace. I mean, how did you find your mates in the mine when you started venturing out and deciding to be a little bit more proactive in real estate and things like that? What was their general attitude to you and you making those kind of changes?
Well, you can't really talk to people out there like that, like I can do with the group I'm in, because They think you're bragging, or they don't like it if you've got more than them. And, you know, there's only a certain, might be one or two people there that might be doing the same sort of thing you're doing. So they're the ones you can only talk to, really. You know, I was in that, oh, here's that dirty word you don't like. I was, like, renting shares there. I had a lot of shares too. But I have no shares anymore. I'm not renting shares out. I don't have any shares anymore. I'm just put it all into property because there's better returns there, you know. And with the market the way it is now, well, the share market, it's, you know, at least it's in an asset now that's going to grow and get growth and give me a return to support my family. So the income I was on, I had to replace the income I was on. So, you know, and because of the lifestyle we got. So
And you know, you've obviously done that now well and truly more than what you were earning before. What was your salary beforehand?
I was on about 153,000 a year.
There you go. I was pretty close with my 140.
Yeah, we were close, yeah. But that's with super and a coal bonus and all that. So when you, I worked it out. I was probably after tax and the travel and the cost of rent and everything out there, I was on about 90,000 a year.
Okay, all right.
So
that was the first goal, to replace that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've actually employed a number of different strategies that I teach and talk about in the programs, and you've concentrated predominantly on passive income and replacement because of necessity, but you've also been very conscious of maximising your yields in every avenue that you've gone into. Like you've done renovations, you've done construction, or you're still doing construction on some of the deals, with a view to passive income and positive cash flow. And I think one of the messages that I really want to get across is the fact that there are so many strategies that work. There is no one road to the top of the hill. It very much is what suits you and what suits your personality and your time frames and that kind of stuff. From a time frame perspective, now with you doing your projects that you're doing now and your creation of passive income, how would you compare your time commitment now compared to when you were on a roster with the mines? Like how many hours did you put in doing that versus what you do now?
Oh, it was a lot more in the mines because, you know, I'm based in Rocky, so I've got a 2-hour travel to go to work. Plus you've got to drive a half an hour to work and 12.5-hour shift. So it's around nearly 13.5, 14-hour days you do, plus you're away from your family for that time on, you know, and you've got night shift and, well, you know, I'm very busy during the days, but I can just turn off any time I want, you know, like it's just great. Mm. I'm very busy. I'm very busy now, but I mean, it's a good busy. You know what I mean? It's a goal to finish things, and I've just I'm completely changed now. I've done a 360 since I left work. Mm. I'm not as stressed as much because it was very stressful. So that was a big thing, and I got a lot of help through you, as you know, in getting rid of some of those bad thoughts in my head and all that too. So it's just not about your property, it's about getting your mindset right. And I think it's about choosing the right what you want to do in the property, you know, like some people can do the reno, some people like the
construction.
Do the units, you know, strata title, and you know, for me it's the reno, add value and build out the back, so you know, and I love it.
Yeah. So how do you manage your time these days? Because time management, going from work to where you got a boss and you have your crib at a certain time and you do this at another time and you answer your emails or whatever you got to do, how do you now manage your time? Because it's something that you can't... People underestimate just how hard it is to really stay motivated and stay enthused throughout the day and make sure that you get the tasks that need to be done in order to be able to continue growing and building that, that income base. How do you manage things like that?
Well, tonight until 2:30 is my time to do my property stuff, so I try and help my wife out then, because I've got to, you know, I'll go and pick the kids up when I can. I'll go and pick them up, and yeah, but in between those times or after 8 o'clock at night, if I've still got stuff to do, or But you're getting calls all the time, so, you know, you try and just turn off at those times so you spend time with the family.
Yeah.
So it's, I just love being home all the time. It's good.
Yeah, totally different scenario.
Well, it is, you know. I missed out on, like, 21 years. Mm. I missed out a lot of my kids growing up and their birthdays and this and that. You know what I mean? I'm getting closer to them because that's what I missed before.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So we talked about a few figures there before about, what you've been able to accomplish. And just roughly on what I've added up here, let me just grab the calculator again. Your passive income, and although it's not completely finished now, you're still under construction on a couple of projects, but your passive income is likely to come in, around about, so I said 400 at the beginning. I actually meant 330 when I added the figures up. So, you know, that's way in excess of what you've, what you were earning on what was considered to be really good money, working in the mines.
Yeah, well, don't know what I was worried about when I was. But I mean, it is worrying. Like when you're getting that money and you know it's there every week, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just not going to be there, you know. And then you've got the injuries to deal with, the cost of treatment and everything, and supporting your family. Yeah, I was in a pretty bad way. But now since then it's just totally different, turned around, and getting that first deal across the line is. It's the best feeling because then you know that's guaranteed income coming in then.
That's right.
So then you know that you're on the way and the family's right.
Yeah. And you get
still
your
got
leases.
My house.
Still got your house. And your leases are locked in and all of that kind of stuff. And
Yeah, I've got a 3-year lease locked in mine, so yep.
Oh, that's good. Okay. When you actually were forced into leaving, I mean, one of the analogies that I use, and I think I've shared this with you before, is it's a feather, paper or brick scenario. And this comes to light with absolutely everything, whether it be, you know, changing jobs, whether it be replacing your income, whether it be, you know, getting out of a bad relationship. It's all the same. You know, you either listen to the feather where you get this little, you know, feather on the cheek, brushing you on the cheek, going, little niggling feeling, going, you know, I really should get out there and do something, or I really should get out there and replace income. I really should, you know, learn a little bit more about property and, you know, making things happen and that kind of stuff. And then if you don't listen to that and you get too busy and you move on and you do other things, then very soon, what happens is you get the paper cut. Now, a paper cut hurts, but it doesn't kill you. You know, a paper cut is a bit of a twinge, and it's like, well, you've got a boss that you don't like, or, the job gets a bit harder, or they double your workload, or any of those types of things. And, you know, that's the paper cut where, you might end up with having to replace your tyres or a new car or any of those kind of things. And if you're listening to those kind of tools and signals, then you can get out there and replace income that much quicker. However, if you don't listen to the paper cut, then of course it's the brick in the head. And the brick in the head is basically what you got there, Neville. It was a back injury that stopped you from working, you know. It was a back injury that made it difficult for you to be able to continue in your line of work. And, you know, you've got ongoing medical bills and things like that to be able to deal with. And it was a case of then it's a necessity. So, you know, I ask all of you to think about, okay, in any part of your life, have you had that feather, the little tickling on the cheek of the feather, that little feeling about, I should go and do this, I should go and do that, I should make something happen? Or are you listening to a paper cut where the bills are coming in and the car needs new tyres and your boss has changed and you don't like it anymore and you're frustrated with life and all of that kind of stuff? Or you sit back and you wait for the brick. In your scenario there, Neville, do you think that you had the feather, paper, brick signals come and you basically waited for the brick?
Well, I think in the long term it was going to be if my back didn't get any right, it was going to be the end scenario, what's happened. But, I mean, at least I was prepared for it, you know what I mean? I had the foresight to have something to fall back onto, and that was property. So, but, yeah, when it actually happens, it hits you hard and, you know, all the emotions and everything come in there. So it's... but, I mean, getting your mindset right was, you know, I got a lot of help in getting my mindset right after that. And so that was a big help too.
How do you find being with a group of people who are all out there doing their thing, making stuff happen for themselves and, you know, happy to talk and share and learn together and that sort of thing? Do you think that's something that, obviously would have been a lot harder without that support mechanism there as well? And that's not me, that's my other students, that's mates in the market that you meet through the events and things like that. I mean, how do you feel about that, the extra support there?
Oh no, I reckon it's great. I think it's as I said before, like, I've only known some people for 3 years, and you know, like, they're like my best mates. I've got friends for life. I've got people all around Australia that I've got friends, you know, and you know, if anyone wants some help, they just got to ring up, you know, and we're there for each other. So, yeah, I really, you know, that's not just in property either. That's in life in general or anything like that. So it's that sort of friendship, you know.
Yeah.
Where some of your friends that you have outside of property and all that, you can't really talk about property because they're all negative about it. What if, you know, and you don't want negative, you want positive, you know.
Yeah.
And the people that are hanging around and want to change their lives with property are positive people, so... And it lifts you up knowing that other people are doing stuff and you're learning off other people, so everyone's got something to offer.
Do you find when you go to a barbecue or, you know, a social outing with your old mates, you know, your mates who are still mates, that they have a positive response with what they talk about, or, you know, do they generally whinge about this or that or something else? You know, is it a positive or a negative general feeling when you talk about stuff outside property and outside my students and things like that?
Well, I only sort of hang around my friends that are positive, so, and that, you know, are proactive in property and shares or whatever they're doing, you know. It's in business, I've got friends that are in business, all that, and we talk about that even, you know, like. It's I don't sort of hang around any of my friends that are negative anymore, you know, because I don't want to hear it. It's just not into negativity.
Yeah. What do you... where did that change happen?
I'd say probably a year ago.
Yeah?
Yeah, I reckon. But even before that, like even when... 3 years ago, even when I started meeting people and getting new friends and helping you out, you know what I mean? It's, yeah, it'd have to be 3 years ago, definitely, yep.
Okay. So, I mean, that whole process, it's sad. Have any of your old friends, you know, the friends you had before, taken it on board and gone, you know what, I want to make this happen too. Look what Neville's doing. I want some of that.
Well, I don't see him. The old workmates and everything, you know, once you get injured at work and you're on the downer and everyone's, you know, when you're down, they kick you down, you soon find out who your real friends are, and there's not many of them.
That's sad. That's really sad.
Well, it is. That's the culture out there, and that's, that is sad. But I mean, you know, when you look back now, they drag me down, you think, well, why did I let that happen? You know what I mean? It's, You don't stand up for yourself and, but, you know, anyway, that's the past now, so I'm just looking forward to the future now, and it's looking bright, so...
Very good. I mean, look, you've done exceptionally well in the space of a bit over a year now, really, once you decided, right, I've really got to do this now. I've got to put this knowledge into action. You know, you're into projects that are positive now. I mean, your positive cash flow as you sit there right now is about equivalent to what you were earning and living on in the mines. And the projects that you have underway by the end of this calendar year will be around about that $330,000.
Yeah, good feeling, eh?
Oh, it's unreal, really.
Makes you wonder what you're worrying about. But, I mean, you can sit back and get all the knowledge, and I know a good friend of mine in our group that we're in that yep. I remember him saying you can either be on the football field, playing the game, in the game, or you're sitting on the sideline watching.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not in doing something and having a go, hey, it all might not work out, but at least you had a go. If you're just sitting on the sideline, getting all the knowledge and doing nothing, well, nothing will happen.
Mm, that's right.
So it's all about taking action, you know.
And that also is where the group really comes in and the support of your mates, because it becomes a bit of a roller coaster ride, because, you know, you see your mates doing stuff and you do stuff and they're encouraging and, you know, one rolls into another deal and all of a sudden you're all out there doing stuff together.
Yeah, that's right, yep. And it's, it's good. I recommend it to anyone. So anyone who's... You know, I think the hardest thing, all through the 3 years, like doing, the 3 year
education.
Yeah, ultimate and doing the
yep.
platinum and all that. It's deciding what you want to do. I suppose it's putting the peg in the sand and saying that's the what path I'm going to take.
Yep.
Because there's that many different things you can do with property too. So you sort of got to decide, right, am I going to be a reno and add value and build out the back like I did, or am I going to target the duplexes and sell them off and strata tile them. So it's all different. Everyone's different too, so...
And different financial situations too mean that, you know, different types of deals are going to suit different people at different times. And it's a matter of then working toward, you know, working with a business plan to achieve what you need next, effectively. It's not just about even... what you want. It's more about, okay, what does my portfolio need next and what's the best way in my circumstances to make that happen?
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Dipper.
Yeah.
Because everyone's, some people mightn't be able to do anything for a while, you know what I mean? But, I mean, at least you can get the knowledge, and when you're in better circumstances, you can act on that and do something. Because, back 3 years ago too, you know, I had the old, you know, the bloomin' properties, you know, negative gear ones.
Negatively geared, that's
yeah.
right.
So, you know, and the knowledge about them, you know, I wouldn't buy another negative gear, even though I've still got a couple I've got to hang on to. I've got that cash flow income coming now that it doesn't matter. I'll just unload them when I can later, you know. I've got choices now, so that's good.
You know, that's so right, because you're in a perfect environment there where you get sold a lot of negative cash flow properties. You get talked into buying stuff that is negative, and you know you'll be told that it's in a growth area and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And look, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But the fact is, simply buying a negative cash flow property, the day you buy it, you're worse off than the day before you had it. It really puts you so far behind, and then you've got to claw your way out of that before you're back to ground zero before you had it. Every single property puts you further and further behind. And, you know, you would have fallen victim to that with, a few negative cash flow properties that, you know, you're not going to do again, but you were talked into them at the time.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. It's all about knowledge, you know. I was just thinking at the time that's the way to go. You're in the mines, you've got to get your tax down, you know.
Yeah. Now, Neville, you just said something pretty important there about, being talked into negative cash flow properties and wanting to reduce your taxes. And unless this is your field, you know, you get talked into buying stuff that's negative cash flow by people who are trying to sell it to you, for one, but also people who are... they're professionals in their field, like accountants and financial planners and those kind of people who again say, well, you're paying too much tax, you know, we'll have to reduce that. Go and buy a negative cash flow property, get negatively geared property. And it's just such a shame, because it's tax-driven poverty. You know, it really keeps the general Australian who's trying to get out there and do the right thing and make a few bucks and save for their retirement and all of those sorts of things into a worse situation than the day before they had the property. It really is tax-driven poverty. So, Neville, how did you get into that? Like, how were you introduced to buying a property and supporting the negative cash flow?
Well, you know, because I'm on high tax, I earn a lot of money, then you're on high tax, so it's all about the knowledge, and all I knew was negative gearing then, so...
How did you learn that? Like, where did that come from?
Well, it's... Everyone knows it, I suppose. It's on it's on television and everything, isn't it, you know?
Well, like, that's true, it is.
But, yeah, I didn't know any better, and I just thought that was the way to go, but I'd never buy a negative gear property again, you know? It's all cash flow for me. It's you're paying well over the market price for it, and the time you get any equity in it, you know, takes years because everyone's got their markup on it. You're paying top dollar for it.
That's exactly right. Particularly when you buy them through the bulk marketers.
Well, I'd rather just be, you know, project managing and get someone else to do the work and do a reno and add value. You know, it's
That's the strategy that you've chosen. I mean, there's obviously lots of strategies, but...
Oh, that's right.
That's the one that suited you.
And it took me a long time to work out what I was going to do, you know, and it just all of a sudden happened. So, but I mean, I know people just going back to them ostriches and trees and all that they were selling. I know people that were ready to retire in 3 to 5 years. They got tax bills for $200,000 and $100,000 out there, and they're still working. Some of them are over 65, some of them are 72, and they're still paying the tax off on them.
Yeah, isn't that shocking?
Well, I always had the mindset, you know, everyone said, oh, you should get it, you should get it. I had a mate who got some.
Yeah.
I said, don't do it, mate, if it's too good to be true. I said, how's the tax department going to give you that sort of tax return each year on that? I said, sounds too good to be true to me, and I never got into them, but, you know, I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. And, you know, you're right, there's wood chips, there's blue gums, there's olive farms, there's ostrich farms, there's heaps of them that are just purely tax-driven strategies where you go out on purpose to lose a dollar to save 30 cents. It makes absolutely no sense at all. But people do it every day, every financial seminar that you go to practically will be trying to sell you one of these things. I mean, I'll never sell you a property, I can tell you now, because if I'm selling a property, you don't want it, I can tell you. I'm selling it for a reason.
It's a dud.
Yeah, the whole negative gearing trap. You've got to always ask yourself when somebody's trying to talk you into buying something, you know, if they've got an ulterior motive behind it, when they're saying, oh, this is the strategy you should use to reduce tax or whatever else, are they actually selling you a property? Is that why they're telling you that it's the best things in sliced bread?
Well, that's right. And another thing that I learnt too is not how many properties you got. Oh, I've got so many properties. It's what the properties are doing for you, you know.
That's
someone
right.
could have 4 or 5 properties and you might have 2 and they might be a lot better cash flow and doing a lot more for you than what actually having
right.
a lot of properties for. So it's not as bad how many you got, whether you got more than someone else or anything. It's just what they're doing for you.
You know, he who dies with the most properties doesn't always win.
Yeah.
That was something that, it really was the saying of a few years back where he who dies with the most properties wins, but it's actually not the case. It depends what they're doing for you, and that's a very good point that you bring up there. Because, you can have a swag of properties and they're all negative. They're not worth a pinch of salt. Whereas if you've got positive cash flow properties that have replaced your income, it doesn't matter whether it's one or whether it's, a number. That's where the money's at. That's what you've really got to be putting into place for yourself. So very good point there. So for somebody, starting out, when you first decided to become a student of mine and take on the education, obviously, you know, I charge you for the education. what was your reaction from your family and friends? You know, did they think you were silly for taking that course of action?
Oh, my wife come down the 3-day boot camp.
Yeah.
She come down with me, and then that was sort of the start of where I am now. So it's...
What did your friends say? Did they know that you were going to a seminar?
It was only a couple of friends there that I sort of socialised with that were into property and shares, and because I was right into shares then, so I bounced all the ideas and telling them what I'm doing and all that. So, yeah, and it's all about your... it's just not about... just about that too. It's about your mindset and your spiritual side of it and all that sort of thing, you know. It's just all sort of come together for me.
Yeah.
In the last, 6 months, it's been a lot of work, but I mean, it's all important stuff.
Yep. And you're obviously in the flow now, I can tell you. You've got a lot of really good stuff going on. You're in a very good space, and you've done a great job with creating that amount of passive income that quickly. So, you know, I really do take my hat off to you, and I know that you are an inspiration to a lot of other students who'll be listening to this, and people who want to get ahead and make things happen, but don't quite know the avenue to do that. So, you know, don't ever undersell yourself by saying, you know, that it's anything different. You are truly a great inspiration for everybody. And thank you for coming on the call.
Oh, thanks very much, Dipna. There's one thing I probably could add to that. I always used to put myself down. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't think I was smart enough with everyone else around you. But it's not about that. It's about, you know, some of the smartest people in the world are uneducated and everything. So I suppose it's by taking the action and getting the knowledge, you know. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world. It's just what you actually do.
That's right. It's applying that knowledge. That's all it is. And it's something anyone can learn. It's, you know, it doesn't matter what your background is. Everyone's, you know, when it comes to property, everyone's on an even playing field. I know my formal education that I did was actually a hindrance to me because it kept my mindset in a place that, you know, it's not possible. You know, there's only one way to do things, and that's the traditional way of negative gearing and everything else. And to step outside that, it's a huge thing to actually go against everything that you've been taught in a financial field, to go and do something different. And that's, you know, personally, that's what I had to go through. So it doesn't matter what your background is, whether your industry is property or finance or drive and drag lines, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever your training is, you can convert it to real estate. It's one of the great things that it's such a fabulous industry for anybody, and you can either have it in addition to your regular job and your regular work, or you can have it as full on, like you are now. I mean, this is your job. This is what you do. This is your life.
Yeah, it's good too, isn't it?
It is good too when you're sitting back with $330,000 passive income coming in.
Well, I can't complain. It's all thanks to the people around me and yourself, Dipna, because, you know, if you didn't have these courses and everything like that to help people, well, we wouldn't get the education and wouldn't have these chances in life anyway. So yeah. it's a good thing you're doing for everyone.
Well, thank you very much, Neville. Look, we will probably close our little talk now for everybody. Is there anything that you'd like to say to somebody who's out there in similar kind of circumstances to yourself, perhaps, who's contemplating that move from full-time employment, whether they're being pushed like you were or whether it's a choice decision? Is there anything you'd like to convey of, things that you've learned along the way that might help them out?
Well, I suppose the only thing I can say is if you really want to change your life, you really got to decide what you're going to do. If it's going to be property, I think you've got to decide which way you're going to go with it and try and replace your income so you can get away from it, because if it's dragging you down, you're taking all your, if you're not happy at work, you're not happy at home because you bring it at home, and, you know what I mean, it just ruins your whole life. So if you're not happy, you've got to try and change it.
Yeah. That's a scary thing, though.
Well, it is, and there's only one person to do it, and that's yourself, you know what I mean? If you decide you're going to do it and get out of it and get away from it, it's going to change your life too, I think, because if you're not happy and the workmates, you're not happy with them, and you know what I mean?
It compounds.
Going to work every day and being unhappy going there, you know, I've been there and done that, and it's a terrible feeling, eh?
Yeah. And the thing is, it's better to do it before it actually makes you sick. Because if you're not happy and you're constantly not happy, ultimately it will affect your health.
Well, I've been there. I'm speaking from experience. I was in a real bad place and I had to get help. So,
yeah.
And I'm just glad I'm away from it all now, because if I had kept going there, who knows, you know, it's not a good place to be for anyone.
No. Well, look, thank you very much for coming on the call. I know it's been an emotional journey for you, and to be able just to share a very small glimpse of that with some other people who are maybe going through the same kind of scenarios as you were in a few years back, I know it's hard to get out there and start to talk about your personal situations and things, but I really do thank you for that, Neville, and I know that your story in itself will be an amazing inspiration for other people who are out there going through similar kind of circumstances as to, you know, what you were in a few years back. So thank you for that, and, you know, congratulations, you've done a great job. It's great income in a really short space of time, and I know that your mates and other students and your family are all very, very proud of what you've done, and you should be too.
Oh, thanks very much, Dipna. Now that I'm retired, I suppose I'll, after this call, I'll probably have to go and have my little grandpa nap.
Oh, nifty. Well, you do that. You go and have your little grandpa nap, and I'll say goodbye to everybody to this podcast, and thank you so much for being on the call, and I'll be back again to talk to you again very, very soon. Take heart from Neville and what he's been able to accomplish in really short spaces of time. I guess the basic message here is, I know it's scary, it's a big thought to go out there and start to do stuff. You can do it on the side, you can do it full on. Let's just listen to the feather rather than wait for the paper cut or the brick in the head. Thank you, Neville, for being on the line, and we'll talk to everybody again very, very soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye for now.